Muslim fan has no need to go along with that story. Children are going to discover the truth anyway in a few years. So we should never teach our children those lies. We should tell our children that Santa Claus is a beautiful, beautiful tale. But that's what it is, a tale, it's a story. And let them know that, don't you know, if you study the Santa Claus idea, it helps to break the strength of the family. You tell that little child that Santa Claus brings all those gifts. Why not tell a little child that Daddy and Mama brought all these gifts? So that child will feel closer to Daddy and Mama. But Daddy and Mama, they just tell the child, you better obey. If you don't be good, Santa's not going to bring you any toys. You see? So Daddy and Mama, they're the bad ones. Santa, he's a good one. You see? When the toys come, who brought them? Santa. Santa. And who is he? He's a big fat man that can perform supernatural feats. He comes from the North Pole with reindeers and sleds, and he can go over mountains and go fly through the air with them and just come right out of the clouds onto the roof. And you never hear all those reindeers on top of the roof when he comes, you know. They can light down so lightly, nobody hear them, and that big old fat belly Santa Claus comes down that dirty chimney and never get any soot on his nice, pretty red and white garment, you know? So, you know, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Being Muslim, once you become a Muslim and you tell a lie like that to your child, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, I'm so happy, I'm very happy. This community here is really getting strong. You're here wall to wall, just like the carpet. And I see the balconies there. It looks pretty full up there in the balconies. That's beautiful. But believe me, there should be so many in here until you'd be crushed. And people should be all around the wall standing. No room for anybody to move, just jammed shoulder to shoulder. That's the way it should be. I know many right now, they can't get out here. Why? Because they got caught up in this Christmas spirit. Talk about Muslims. They can't get out here. They got to go with the family and take the children to see the Christian relatives, you know, and carry on that traditional thing. But that traditional thing destroys our strength, weakens our family, hurts the image of the parents, and we should thank Allah for Al-Islam, because Al-Islam is the only thing that can save family leadership and community leadership so we can get some real dignity here on earth in the United States of America. Now, I want to go from that to a problem of administration. Now, as you know, when I came into office, I began to talk about believers taking responsibility for themselves, being responsible for themselves. And I've been talking that since I've been in this office. And I believe that this community has made great progress toward accepting responsibility for self. We don't have the captains and lieutenants out here threatening people, whipping people to make them do, or threatening them, put them out if they don't dress properly, or if they don't speak and carry themselves in the right manner. And we have a beautiful audience here. It looked as beautiful as it ever looked, in my opinion. So I believe we have made great progress. The people are accepting responsibility for themselves. The sisters are keeping their decent image. They're protecting the image of the Muslim woman in Islam. And the brothers must be appreciating that image, because I don't see a lot of divorces and a lot of trouble between the brothers and the sisters. So I feel that the community has grown up quite a bit. And we are getting less and less of those petty complaints that we used to get from the community. Charges against this brother, charges against that sister. I can't do this, I can't do that. I went to the restaurant and I bought a hamburger, and it had too much gristle in it, Chiefy, ma'am. I want you to do something about that. Well, I don't holler. I'm not getting things like that anymore. So that's proof. That's to me, that's evidence that the community has grown up and is still growing up. All praise due to Allah. Now, but we still have problems. And I'm going to read you just a few extra lines from this report that was given to me by a brother that I appointed to be a committee coordinator here in Chicago. He was organization president when we had the consensus body and the consensus, world consensus body here. Now, let me see where will I start. Maybe I should start and give some of those that don't know too much about my background some knowledge of my background that I think many of you miss. Most of the believers today think that I came into the ministry from nowhere. I helped Minister James minister here as a young man before I went to prison. And I was sent to Philadelphia in late 58, I believe it was. I know 59 I was teaching to be the minister there, by Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I was there for about 3 years. And all of the responsibilities were on me there. In fact, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I believe, gave me as much responsibility over that, as much freedom of hand in Philadelphia as he gave to any imam, to any minister, we were called at that time. Minister Malcolm, who was over New York and the area around there, he didn't have any more freedom of hand than I had. And when I went to Philadelphia, the attendance was less than 100. Less than 100. The attendance, something like 46, 48 people, 60-some people. That's a big, yes, that was a big attendance. Within 2 years, we had an attendance of 500 people in Philadelphia in those days. And we didn't have a whole lot of problems. We didn't have problems in the administration. We didn't have problems with the believers. Everything worked very smoothly. You know why? I had a group of brothers and sisters there that appreciated my leadership. They appreciated me as their minister. They were happy to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad send his own son there as to be their minister. So they supported me. We had a few that made trouble, but the support was so great until that few, they were just crippled. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't get anything started, because the strength was so strong there. It was so great there for me. And, you know, whenever you have support like that, you're going to have people jealous, right? There was a lot of jealous people, and that's why you don't know about me, because there was ministers who were jealous. And they didn't like to say too much about that, you know. But most of you think I just came right here and just jumped up all of a sudden now. I'm the leader of the World Community of Islam in the West. In Philadelphia, I taught the FOI. Honorable Elijah Muhammad permitted me to give special lessons to the MGT. I taught school. I cooked on Tuesdays. We had unity meetings. I cooked on Tuesdays and took the food out myself. Most of the times I would cook the food myself. Sometimes the sisters or brothers would help me. In fact, I had one brother who helped me prepare it all the time, but I was a cook. He made the juice. And he's right here now. If he was here, he would tell you. He would verify it. Brother Edward B. His name is Edward B. Mustafa now. He's working here now. He was secretary there. Before I came there, he was secretary under me until I left. And we didn't have problems. Had brother who would help teach the adult classes. He's here too, I think, now. His name has changed too. It's Abdullah now. Brother Lewis, he was Lewis then. But now he's Abdullah. I think he's here, still here now. He's got a job transfer. He's working out from Chicago a little piece, and he comes here often. He's here every week. He might be here today. we had no problem at all. Now, why do we have a problem now if there's a problem? We have a problem because there are people who have whispered and predicted that W.D. Muhammad would fail. And many of them like what has happened, but they still hate that their prediction didn't come true. So they deny support. They deny me their support. They find excuses for not giving the support, you know, because they're people who predicted that I would fail. And they're not going to give a lot of help because they would like to see their prediction come true. So that's the only problem. Now, I expect that officials, and that means subordinates, I don't like to talk like this. I shouldn't have to talk like this. But if I'm your imam, if this is an Islamic community, then there's no position higher than the chief imam. I don't care what that position is. There's no position higher. If this is a religious community, if this is al-Islam, then the imam has the top position. And the chief imam is the boss, the chief, over everybody else. Now, if the subordinates would support their leader, their chief imam, we wouldn't have any problem. When I have good communication with officials and they support the leadership, I don't have any problem. But when people don't communicate, they only communicate when they want to tell you something bad. Say, you know, so-and-so said that they don't think you should be the imam. They'll tell you that. So-and-so said that you got a nasty mouth. You know, something bad about it. They'll bring you that. But you can't communicate with them in a healthy way, constructive way. Now, if every official, assistant imam, imam, assistant imam, secretary, treasurer, whatever the job is, educator, teacher, whatever the position is, business manager, whatever the position is, if all of these people would support the mission and leadership of W.D. Muhammad, they'll get the majority of the support from the people. If they miss support, it won't be that much. It won't be a problem. The majority of the people will support them. Then it's easy for me to back them. But if I have people asking for support from the people, and I don't see them really coming out supporting what I represent strong enough, then I wonder, say, maybe the people are right. I don't want the people supporting somebody that's not for me. And why should I? Should the president want somebody in his cabinet supporting us to get support when they're not supporting him? Would he, a Baptist preacher, want one of his deacons or somebody to have support when they're not supporting him? No, indeed. No organization, no group can expect their leader to play some kind of sweetheart game with people that's not supporting that leader. No. Now, dear beloved people, I have a record as a junior FOI, captain, lieutenants that were back there, if they were here, they'd tell you. He was a good, obedient servant. I obeyed, I respected my superiors. Never gave anybody any problems. Yes, sir. No, sir. I did my job. Okay? But I got into the ministry, I did the same. I respected every minister of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I didn't argue with them. I didn't make enemies. I respected them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made them ministers. So I respected them. Now, when I went to Philadelphia, I knew I was the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I didn't go out there telling the people I'm the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Listen to me. I was given Philadelphia. So I ministered at Philadelphia and Camden, Philadelphia, Camden, and Chester, Pennsylvania. I ministered over those temples that were given to me and tend to my business. If anybody wanted me to come to New York or to Boston, they had to invite me. I didn't push around my weight. So I got a history. I don't have to tell you what I am. I got a history that speaks for me. That's right. Now, when I was made the leader of the World Community of Islam in the West, I accepted it. Why? Because I had the majority support. If I didn't have the majority support, I wouldn't have accepted it. I would have gone on about my business, knowing that Allah would make me successful without that majority support. But I wouldn't argue with them and try to get them to go my way. No, you want to go your way, you go your way. And I'm that way right now. If everybody want to go in a different direction, okay, assalamu alaikum, see you later. I'm not going to fight you to make you come my way. Right. Only if you want to. Some people seem to think that I ought to be stronger. I ought to tell the people, you can't do this, you can't do that. Jump on them, jump down their throats. Make them walk a chalk line. I'm not a sergeant, I mean ma'am. I'm not going to regiment people like they're a bunch of tin soldiers. I'm an imam. All right. So you're going to have to be responsible for yourself. You're going to have to be grown up men and women. You hear what Al-Islam is. You hear the life as I describe it to you, and I describe it from the teachings of the Holy Quran, from Prophet Muhammad and the Hadith. Okay, when you hear the life, you have to take it on yourself to live that life. Nobody is going to come around and police you. We're not going to police you. If you want it, you take it. Holy Quran say the way is open and open. Whoever wants to, let him take the way. Whoever doesn't have a desire to, then let him go his way. It's an open way. Whoever will, let him come. Isn't that the book? All right. And that's the Holy Quran, the same. There is no compulsion in the religion, and we're not to stand over you as police to make you obey. We invite you to the truth. Holy Quran say, invite the people to the truth with wisdom and in the best manner of speech, or with the best speech. That's what we are supposed to do. We're not supposed to stand up here and cuss you out. Do this here, and get there and do that. You brothers have to do that. That's not with wisdom and the best and in the best manner, you see. That's okay. We know that sound. That's the sound of life. As long as you hear babies around, that means we're living, we're growing. And I think I might have to wait for 40 years on that solid staff that I need to support me. You know, those rebellious, quarrelsome people that followed Moses, the scripture says, the Bible says, that they all had to die off before any real progress was made. You know. But after 40 years, a new generation came. And that new generation, they weren't looking for something to tear down all the time. They were willing to back and follow the leadership. Now, that's the same thing we have to do. We have to come out of that old argumentative mind, always critical, looking for something to down, talk about. Now, dear beloved Muslims, I'm not saying that we don't have a problem. We do have a problem. But I don't believe we would have the problem if the staff members, all of them, I'm not going to name any of them, and I'm not speaking to Chicago, I'm speaking to the national hookup. Chicago, everybody. In fact, I believe the problem exists outside more than it exists in Chicago. Because I know imams that don't even correspond with us here in Chicago. Now, you don't have to write me. Write Sheikh Shabazz. Write Treasure Hop. Write Right, Dr. Shabazz was over at Dutta Education, our brother Fareed, Professor Fareed. Right, Brother Nada Ali, who's over the business. Brother Mustafa, who's attorney here, and in charge of legal persons and other things. So we have people here that we can write. Right, Brother Hassan Sharif at the National House. If it concerns public addresses, public presentations, or involvement, that you can't reach Sheikh Shabazz. But the imam, whatever he needs, if he has a problem, all the only thing he has to do is write Sheikh Shabazz. It's simple, very simple. We have imams that never contact. We never hear anything from them. They do things and we never know what they're doing. If they get in trouble, they'll say, bail us out. We got a bill here. That's not right. The imam should be in constant touch with us here in Chicago. Any imam who is in charge of a masjid outside of Chicago, he should be in constant touch with Sheikh Shabazz or with some department here in Chicago. What I mean by constant touch, a month shouldn't pass by without him sending in a monthly report. And if he's had any problems, he should send in those problems. In fact, if he run into problems weekly, he ought to send in weekly letters here to Chicago. That's the only way we can get the job done. Now, I know we got visitors here, and the visitors, they say, well, these people talk their business in front of us. Yeah, if you came here, you're one of us. While you're here, you're one of us. Now, when you leave, well, we don't know what you're one of. While you're here, you're one of us. And you can benefit from hearing how we handle our affairs. I'm going to read quickly here. It says, if I have understood you correctly over the past almost 3 years, it was your aim to establish a viable government in the world community of Islam in the West under your guidance with sufficient independence and know-how to be able to carry itself and the community along without the one-man rule kind of mentality. That's right. Without the one-man dictatorship kind of mentality. See, some people just want to dictate, but they don't want to listen. You see, that's bad. One-man rule means one man takes on the responsibility for governing the community. And everything has to come from him. Everything has to be approved by him. No orders can be given unless they come from him. I don't want that. The writer of this report is correct. That is what we've been trying to get rid of. And we do have a problem. I want people who are intelligent enough, that is in the leadership, I want people who are intelligent enough to see the direction that I'm going in and support that direction. I want to see them, if they're in education or if they're in business or if they're in any other field, I want to see them taken from my direction. That is applicable in their area, in their field, and see that direction is executed in their field. Business, no matter what it is. That's what they should do. And when they can't get see the direction clearly, I expect that they should come to me or write me and say, Imam, I would like to have some light on this particular direction that you're giving so I can be able to support it and back it. And if they come, they will get it. But I think I make myself very clear. And an educated man, we don't expect that he has to come to you for every word. You have to give him every word. He should be able to compose his supporting speech. Is that right? He should see where you're going and then compose his supporting speech and give it to his people and forward the directions on to others. You see? So from an intelligent man, you expect that he can follow 100% word to say every time he opened his mouth. You see? Now, sharing the rule means delegating authority. Authority that is delegated is not a divided authority. If we're going to have different leaders among us, somebody giving their opinion of Muslim dress, giving their opinion of Muslim diet, giving their opinion of the oneness of God, then we have a divided leadership. We need anybody to take on authority from the leadership. We need them to accept that authority to be delegated to them. And that's what I have encouraged. I have encouraged people to accept responsibility and carry out the wishes of this leadership, of this mission. That's what I've asked for. That's delegating authority. We have Imam Sheikh Shabazz. He held a number of things during the week. He's busy. I know he's busy because he's here for hours. And I know the number of people that are seeing him and the calls he's getting, the letters he gets. So he's a busy man. If he would tell you how many times I'm jamming something down his throat or making him dance to my music, I doubt if he would tell you. I don't think I've ever done that. Have I done that, Sheikh Shabazz? No, he has a free hand. He has a free hand. Treasurer Hawk has a free hand. I see some trouble, I tell him, I say, Treasurer Hawk, I think this is going to get us in trouble. Oh, I don't think, I'm not talking about criminal things. Treasurer Hawk would never think of any getting us involved in anything undesirable. You know, we have people here that they used to, yesterday's activities, you know. Well, it ain't happening here no more. If we catch that, we get it right out. We don't waste any time. We put that kind of thing right out of here. But sometimes Treasurer Hawk, he does things, and I say, Treasurer Hawk, I don't think we should do it like that. It might cause trouble down the line. Our Treasurer Hawk, I think we ought to bring this before the believers and let all the believers support this. Then sometimes he'll tell me something, you know, and I'll say, yes, Treasurer Hawk, that's right. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. I overlooked that. And sometimes Sheikh Shabazz will bring me something. In fact, the lowest man in the staff here will occasionally bring me something and remind me, bring something to my attention that I had overlooked. And I don't argue with them. Oh, they don't go and bring me nothing. Just take what I get. I'm not like that. I listen. And I say, you're right. And I follow it. That was the leadership of Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him. He didn't just give the people orders and didn't listen to the people. He's the one who established this kind of behavior, this kind of leadership, treatment, respect for the community, respect for the majority of the people. He established this himself. Even on the points that he himself felt sure, many times he opened it up to the community. In fact, he always would open it up to the majority and get their opinion. And sometimes the majority opinion was not what he wanted, but he accepted it. Why? Because he wanted to establish that this, Islam, is a democracy. It's not a dictatorship. It's not a monarchy. It's not a dictatorship. It's a democracy. So we have to obey the rule of istima'ah, which means majority consensus. If we have a question, we put it before the people, and we have to go with the majority consensus. This is what Prophet Muhammad himself established. What I see seems to indicate to me that everything and all roads go back to yourself, and people are once again hesitant about acting or getting the show on the road unless it has the full beforehand sanction and substantially originates from yourself. Now, I don't like this situation. If that's the situation, I'm not pleased with it. I don't want the ball to be to stop rolling, or the work to be slowed down because their people are afraid to say something, afraid to act, fearing that they might not be in accord with me. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. Now, if people are that afraid, then there's something foreign working in this community. Because I don't think I provoke that kind of fear in anybody. The brothers and sisters, they know they can come to me and they can talk freely. I don't put anybody, I don't make anybody uptight. Or make them that afraid to express themselves or to act. Now, I admit that I have had to come out against Medallion News for letting little devilish troublemaking things go out in the paper. I have had to come out against certain officials for either sleeping or just turning their backs or just following a way that that is against what we're doing. Now, if coming out against officials handicap them or hinder them in their job, they're going to have to be hindered and handicapped. We're going to have to keep things right. Now, I believe if an official is corrected and he accepts the correction with dignity, but also with respect for the direction, I think he'll get the support of the people. And the people won't shut their ears to him. They will listen. They'll keep obeying him. If they see he's the kind who can get can be corrected and yet give his support. You see? So we have to prove ourselves worthy of the people's support. There are some of the believers, though, that I know, they just like to keep something going. They don't want any problem solved. Because their whole thing is being occupied in trouble, fussing, complaining. And if they don't have any fussing to do, complaints to make, they're just miserable people, you see. So I know we have people like that, but those few shouldn't make an official think that the job is impossible. They're just a few. They're not everybody. Yeah. So if we have people like that, we should understand that we are working with people who have the worst emotional and maybe psychological problems of all the people in the community, of all the people in the population, the public. People who come to religious communities, they come because they have problems. If they didn't have them, they wouldn't be coming here. You see? So they have problems. They want their problems. They want somebody to help them with their problems. I'm not saying all of us come for that reason. Many of us come because we just want to support this because we know it's good. But we open our doors, and who do we open our doors to? We open our doors to troubled people. People with family problems. People with emotional problems. We open our door to them. And if our door is not open to them, then the door should be closed. That's what we're here for. So I expect that there'll be people coming here with emotional problems, family problems, wife problems, husband and wife problems, parent-children problems, moral problems. Problems of just not being able to get along with their neighbor or to get along with the brothers and sisters. We're going to get those problems. That's why we're here. We have to identify our own job. Some of us are here, but we don't even know the people we're dealing with. We don't know the job we're supposed to be doing. We're not here to collect money and count it. We're here to serve human needs. That's our main job, to serve human needs. Counting money is just part of it. That's a necessity that goes along with it. But the main job is serving human needs. So how much money we got? How much money we got? How many people did what we say? How many people have you helped with their problem? That should be the question. We say we believe in Islam, we belong to God, and God has given us answers to all of our problems, but we ought to be on the job of helping our brother. Now, look at this language. Well, who the hell is Dr. Salam? Now, this is a quote coming from some believer. You never hear me speak like that of another official. Never have and never will. Who in the hell is Salam? If I speak like that, he's finished. I'm talking about somebody who just got dismissed. Yeah. How can you expect to live with people that you have no respect for? No, if you're going to live with people, you have to respect them. Our brothers and sisters, don't speak like this of any of the officials in Chicago or anywhere else. As long as we have them in that position, we have to respect them, because they are not just people. They are people representing an office. Why do I demand respect? At home, I don't insist upon the amount of respect that I insist upon out here. At home, I'm a family member. I'm Sister Shirley's husband. I'm the children's father. They can play with me. They can joke with me. They can tell me, say, you ought to do something about your old nappy hair. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not that my wife says it. If my wife says, why don't you do something about your old nappy hair? Why don't you get a haircut? You look like hell. Well, me and my wife wouldn't fall out. I might just say, you know, maybe you're right. Why? Because they're in the house. The position of imam over the whole world community of Islam in the West is not up before public eyes. The public eyes. At that time, I'm not in the pulpit. I'm not on the throne. I'm going about my life, family life, the business of my family life, right? That's different. But now, if one of you would jump up here and say, Chief, why don't you do something about that old bushy head of yours? Now, I might tell you too. Sister, you might be right. I might get a haircut. But I'll never look at you the same way again. Because I know something's wrong with you. Yeah. You should have more respect for the office that is over your community than to say anything to your leader before other people. Even in public, you should try to word it so it doesn't hurt the feelings of the leader. And you should only hurt his feelings if you think it has to be said that way. Yeah. Then don't say it where others can hear you. Say it to him by himself. Not for his protection, for the protection of that office. If you speak to him any kind of way before others, you're going to weaken that office. The strength and dignity of the office is going to be diminished. You see? A strong people have to support leadership. Strong leadership makes a strong people. And strong support for leadership makes strong leadership. So don't speak like this to any of the officers. The coordinator of the committees, he has a very important position. He's an educated man. He's a college-degreed man. He's a doctor. So respect him. You're supposed to respect education. You're supposed to respect social status. This is civilization I'm talking about. This is just what is expected of civilized people. So he ain't no better than me. If I didn't get no education at all, he ain't no better than me. No, he is no better than you if you have respect for yourself. But if you don't have any respect for yourself, then at least respect him. But if you respect yourself, you can get the same kind of respect that he will get. A man who never got a degree, have no rank in the leadership. If he respects the leadership, if he respects adult males and females, if he treats people right, even children right, if he respects the office, respects the thought, respects property, respects the message, people will observe that and respect him. He'll be getting the respect that the chief gets. Yeah. People will be, assalamu alaikum, brother so-and-so. Assalamu alaikum, sister so-and-so. They will nod their head, tip their head a little bit when they speak to that brother. He would have earned that kind of respect. But don't come up talking like some wine head that just ain't got no sense of respect for anything and demand respect. He ought to respect me. I'm a human being too. We don't know whether you are or not. Prove it. But even an ignorant believer has to get respect from an intelligent Muslim. An intelligent Muslim won't even abuse or speak in some rude, ugly manner to an ignorant, disrespectful person. He will respect that person, even if that person doesn't respect themselves. And that's how we teach the ignorant people respect. Teach it to them by respecting each other and by respecting even them. Respect them. A lot of times you can't talk to people like that. You have to demonstrate to them that you are a strong character. You're a dignified, decent person. Now, there are several points here that need discussion, but I'm going to quickly go over them, and I think I'll say enough. We have committees. We've had them for almost 3 years now. These committees should be working hard to make the leadership strong. National, local leadership. We don't call ourselves the Nation of Islam anymore. We're the community of Islam, belonging to the universal nation of Islam. But we still have a home office. And this is home office. Chicago is home office. So the people who work on these committees, they should be working to create more respect in the membership. And more support for the direction that comes from the home office. How can they do that? They can do that by supporting their imam. The imam is supposed to be in touch with the home office. And if they support their imam and what he's doing, then they will be supporting us. If they know that their imam is not representing or supporting the home office, then they should bring that to his attention, to the body's attention, to the membership attention, and if they have to, they should bring it to the attention of the home office. But as long as you don't have any serious charge against your imam, you support him. And anytime you can't support him, you should bring it up before the general body. And the general body should listen to your complaints and either dismiss them or support you and ask that another imam be nominated and that his name be sent into the home office for acceptance. That's the way we should do it. Now, we've given these instructions out before. This is not the first time. How come every month or every year we got to give the same instructions out? That sounds like people who predicted I would fail. And they don't want to hear what we're saying. Your prediction will never come true. I believe it was February 25th or 26th when I first, 26th, when I first spoke to you as your leader. After that speech, I was already successful. I could have died the next day and would have been a success. Wouldn't have been as beautiful as it is now, but it would have been a success. Would have taken maybe 40 years, but it would have been a success. The committees can't operate independent of the imam. Only way the committees can operate is that they have to cooperate with the imam. They have to communicate and cooperate with the imam. That's the only way. You want to divide the community? The leadership, the imam going one way and the committee going another way? That's no good. If you have a serious problem, you have to solve it. We can't stand to have the community divided. And the top man, he is the boss. The imam in your area is the boss. Everybody else is working under him. There are still questions on what is the law now? Do we have a law? Are you reading your Holy Quran? I know I read it. And it's filled with law. And there's a hadith, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, and I quote them often here, that instructs us how we are to behave, how we are to carry ourselves in the community, how we are to treat each other. So how can anybody be asking what happened to the law? You ought to detect people like that and just make a mental note or put it in black and white if you think you'll forget it. Put his name down, where he's from, where he's located, where he lives, where he hangs out if you don't know his address. Pick his pigeon, nail him down, or nail her down, because most likely that's a troublemaker. That's an infiltrator who's just here just to make trouble. Anybody, what's the law? How do these people know the law? They don't drink. They don't gamble. They don't commit fornication and adultery. They don't speak vulgar language. They're not out here cussing and talking like they... somewhere and he hits from 31st Street or 39th Street or somewhere. They dress, they put their dresses down to their ankles. They wear loose fitting clothes. The men don't come here in shorts with their knees showing or with their chest, the hair showing above his navel. I don't have to tell these men that. They ain't savages, they know. The men know and the women know. So how come these people always ask me, do we have a law anymore? Certainly we have a law. Well, who's going to bring the guilty before the bar, before the court? You? All we need is four witnesses. If there's somebody who's just disgracing the community and not living a Muslim life and disgracing the community, there should be witnesses. Bring that person before. No lieutenant to bring him. You bring him. Then when you bring him, the imam should be the defender of the law. He should listen to the charges. And if the evidence is conclusive that this person is really guilty of this, he should give them the proper warning or the proper punishment. The imam should do that. Now, if this is not done, it's not because Imam Deputy Muhammad is not on his job. It's not because he doesn't have people to do things. We just don't do things the way you want to do things. That's not the right way. The people, if they know that there is a disgraceful person in their community or among them that's tearing down the image, the good face of Islam, the people themselves should challenge that person. Say, look, what's wrong with you? Don't you care anything about what we represent? They should shame him so bad until he stopped doing what he's doing, and it should never even get to the imam. But if he just won't be shamed, they should bring him out. Identify him before the imam on the big meeting day. Jummah, after Jummah, Friday speech. Sunday after the meeting. Say, this person here just won't respect our life, our good Muslim life. We tell him, we remind him he's not supposed to drink. He drinks, he gets drunk. How sad does he even know he drank? Here's a man, he's just ho-hopping all around the neighborhood. He goes in this sister's house, he's messing with this, he's messing with that person. We talk to him, we try to caution him, we try to provoke some kind of decency in his mind. He just won't respect anything. Brother Imam, I'm pointing him out to you. He's right here, he's brother so-and-so and so. He's not a good Muslim, he's tearing down what we are building up. That's what you should do. And if the Imam doesn't stand up for al-Islam, for the Quran, for the Hadith, for what we represent here in this particular mosque here in Chicago, then that Imam most likely is guilty of some of those things. So you should nominate a new Imam into office. Nominate one to be put into office. I don't see any problem myself. There's no problem. It's a very simple matter. Read the Holy Quran daily. During the month of Ramadan, we read it all the way through. Over that 30-day period. So don't stop. Begin right after Ramadan, start reading again. And you have 11 months to read the whole book. So you can just read a few pages a day, right? Read the Holy Quran. So you'll know what al-Islam is. So you know what the Quran, what Allah asks of us in the Holy Quran as Muslims. Now, we are planning a Survivors Day this February, the 26th. And we'll be making special tribute, paying special respect to the great men and women who stood up for the dignity of the Bilalian or Afro-American people, as some of our people call ourselves. Now, I wish we'd get away from calling ourselves colored, Negro. Even the Caucasian don't call us that anymore. And let me tell you the worst thing you can call yourself, black. Every time you call yourself black, you make the Caucasian that want to keep you divided against yourself and keep you out of America, out of the mainstream of American life. You just make him so happy. The terms black and white support white supremacy. When they hear these terms, they're happy. That's what they wanted. And now they've tricked us into to advancing that without even their involvement. We lead it. We are black. It was good to say it for a while, just so we could accept, because we were told that black is inferior, and we had to first accept in our own mind that black is good. So after that, the job has been taken care of. We have said we are black and proud. James Brown, we are black and proud, black and proud, black and proud. And we have sung it, and we've told them that here, they got to accept my natural hair, the afro. So we've done that thing, right? Now, if we continue it, we are doing nothing but helping the racists. Say, well, Chief, aren't we black? No, we're not black. Some of you are black, some of you are brown, some of you are maple color, some of you are reddish, some of you are Chinese color, some of you are Mexican color, some of you are Nigerian color, some of you are Egyptian color. You're not black. So if I say black, if I call all of you black, I'm crippling you. I'm dividing you. And it's not hardly a month or so past that somebody's not bringing me a complaint against some black person or against some white person. They think they're better than I am. You're going to always have that if you use terms that can't be applied equally to all the people. If you're black, if that's what all of us should be, then all of us ought to be black. But we're not black. Well, you're from black, aren't you? I don't know. I know my color tells me that a black was there, but I don't know which one I'm from. Maybe I'm from the one that got all this light in me. I'm from the light and the black, right?
If both are in me, I'm from both. All right, so why worry about what color we are from? This is not Muslim mind. This is racist mind. All we want to know is that, do you accept people? Black, brown, yellow, red, no matter what color they are. Do you accept them for what they're worth, irrespective of their color? If you say yes, good, we're happy. But if you reject people because they are black or because they are white or because they are dark or shit, then you got a racist mentality, a racist mind, and you have to be converted or dismissed. Right? Look how ridiculous it is. I got a driver's license. My driver's license says, color of eyes, brown. You see my hair? Most of you have seen my hair. I called it black all my life. It took the driver's license bureau to make me aware that it wasn't really black, it's brown. See, if you go in the sun, my hair is not black, it's brown. Real dark brown. So on my driver's license, they put brown. They made me put brown. My hair's brown, my eyes is brown. My face is black. Yeah, that's what you say, don't you? You who support the racist plan to keep us out and to keep us divided against each other, you who support that, don't you say, my skin is black, but my hair is brown and my eyes are brown. My eyes are a lot darker than my skin, and my hair is black almost. But no, his hair is brown, his eyes are brown, his skin is black. It's a shame that we let people just play with us like that. They just play with us. Next time I hear an official calling us black, I'm going to dismiss him. No, you got to, he might slip up. If he does it twice, he's dismissed. So the Prophet Muhammad says, La yuldagul mu'min min juhrin marratain. The Muslim doesn't fall in the same trap twice. So if he falls in it twice and I know he's not a Muslim, I'm going to execute Prophet Muhammad's law on him. Yeah. So you better pass the word quickly to Benalian News. Tell them the next time editors call us black, I'm going to dismiss that editor. He better use the term Benalian or Afro-American. What's wrong with Afro-American? You who don't want to accept the good, nice term, Benalian, what's wrong with Afro-American? The Italian, he's an Italian-American. The Japanese is a Japanese-American. The Chinese is a Chinese-American. The Mexican, a Mexican-American. What's wrong with African-American or Afro-American? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. The racists don't want you identifying with your ancestors in Africa. That's what's wrong with it. He wants you to use terms that divide you and cripple you and hurt you. Call yourself black. What is black? Nothing but a skin color. And we can't even identify equally with it ourselves. They love that for you. All this talking I do, and you still don't get hip to the trick of this racist. Just go on supporting him just like I didn't say anything. All right, you think I'm playing? Just use the term black again. I'm talking about the officials. They're supposed to be my servants, right? They're supposed to be the subordinates, the helpers, the servants of the imam. And that includes that Benalian News staff. Because that paper was formed here under the leadership of Muhammad Elijah Muhammad, and it was kept in form by W.D. Muhammad, right? It belongs to the world community of Islam in the West. All right. So they better realize that. You got some on there with that old crazy, sick liberal mentality. Sick liberal mentality. What the chief wants? He wants to make this paper Holy Quran or a newspaper. We want a Muslim newspaper. A Christian want a Christian newspaper. So why shouldn't we want a Muslim newspaper? We are Muslims. this survival day,